When my brother's in the hospital, they had medicinal honey. Oh, I was impressed. I don't know what the difference between that and mine, but yeah, there you go. Okay, Lamentations. And we'll go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand your words. Help us to understand the doctrine of your words and also to know how to we can apply it to ourselves, that we might live a more holy life, that we might live in pleasing to thee, that we might be able to have peace or grace when we go through difficulties. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, remember that after Jeremiah, you got five chapters, and it's called Lamentations. So it's lamenting, he's crying. And Jeremiah is writing about the destruction of Jerusalem. He is an actual eyewitness of it. He saw people starving to death. He saw the Babylonian army come in and steal everything that they wanted and killed people here and there. People lying in the streets. He saw people starving to death. So it's pretty bad. And but doctrinally, the Lord took Jeremiah and kind of put him into the future. Okay, and he's writing about the Jews in the tribulation time period. Okay, if you would try chapter 4, verse 21. Okay, this one shows that doctrinally, when you understand the doctrines of the Bible, the words seem to jump off the page more. And when you understand the doctrines, then the Lord himself gets a blessing out of you and I understanding the doctrines. We get a blessing when we understand instructions of the Bible. So when we look at the Bible from God's perspective, he gets a blessing out of it. And remember that the most important doctrine from the Lord's perspective is the second coming. That's when his son is glorified. Okay, so Lamentations chapter 4, verse 21, he's writing about Judah and Jerusalem when they were Jerusalem was conquered by Iraq or Babylon. But he says in verse 21, "Rejoice and be glad, O daughter of Edom, that dwellest in the land of Uz. Okay, the cup also shall pass through unto thee, thou shalt be drunken, and thou shalt make thyself naked." Okay, that's the land of Uz or Edom. That's modern-day Jordan. Does anybody remember who was in that place, Uz? Job, new converts call it Job. Okay, Job was in the land of Uz, and he suffered. He was directly persecuted by Satan. Job has 42 chapters. It matches 42 months of the Great Tribulation. And the Jews of the tribulation will be persecuted directly by Lucifer. Okay, so, O daughter of Edom, that's Jordan, that's the northern part of Saudi Arabia, that dwelleth in the land of Uz. Okay, that's Uz, not Oz. Okay, the Wizard of Oz, they just had to play down there, Rensel Tuck, and I was driving to some of the bus kids home. They said, "You going to the play on Saturday or Friday?" I said, "No." Mr. Hoffman going, "Yeah, I got out of it." "Why aren't you going?" "Because I don't like it." "What's wrong with it?" I said, "Satanic." "What?" And so I explained it to him. I said, it's a mockery of faith in the Lord. Okay, and here's how it's a mockery. Someone follows a yellow brick road, gets to the end, finds out at the end it's just a guy behind a curtain who's full of hot air. Isn't that now what heaven is as far as the golden streets? And so somebody was mocking Christianity. There is a deceptive, commercialized idea behind the Wizard of Oz, too, involving the straw man, but that's a legal aspect. Okay, the straw man is used by governments to enslave their people. Okay, but still, and it's interesting that the lady that played Dorothy died of suicide. Some of these actors and actresses really get into their part, okay? Like Heath Ledger. He really got in his part as the Joker, a blood-drinking character, very demonic character, died, or, I don't know how he died, suicide, drug overdose, or whatever. And, Hollywood capitalized upon his death to advertise this movie. What a bunch of cheap opportunists. Okay, but the land of Uz, okay, so the Jews will be in the land of Uz during the tribulation. That's Petra. That's where they run down to Petra to try to survive the tribulation. So doctrinally, that's how he's writing Lamentations, Jeremiah. And Jeremiah may come back during the tribulation himself, as many of the prophets might come back. Moses, Elijah coming back. The apostles might come back. I don't know. Okay, we're in Lamentations. I left off Lamentations 1, verse 11. So we'll repeat that and come back through 12. 12, we got a paragraph mark. So in verse 11, it says, all her people sigh. Now, the idea of sighing is mentioned four or five times in the first chapter. And sighing is when not somebody sheds tears, but they're just discouraged, depressed, don't understand, wondering. Okay, it's not all the way crying, but boy, it's close to it. All her people sigh, they seek bread. Okay, why are they seeking bread in a tribulation time period? Well, during the historically, remember that history shows that Babylon surrounded Jerusalem for 18 months. Nobody go in, nobody goes out. So obviously ran out of food. And so they're begging for bread. People starving to death. Doctrinally, remember the famous Lord's Prayer? Give us this day our daily bread. That's a Jewish prayer. And it's somebody praying during the tribulation because it's going to be a 3.5-year famine worldwide. So they're going to have very little food. Revelation chapter 6 writes about that. Okay, and so they're begging for bread. But the Jews who run down to Petra, God's going to rain down manna. And then they're going to be able to feed from that on a daily basis. Okay, so all her people sigh, they seek bread. They are given their pleasant things for meat to relieve the soul. See, O Lord, and consider, for I am become vile. Okay, I am become vile. If you remember, run a cross-reference to Job 40 and 42, especially 42 verse 4, 5, and 6. This is Job's attitude after he saw the Lord. Okay, but the Lord, what did the Lord say about Job? God said he was a perfect and upright man. But when Job saw the Lord, he said, I am a vile man. Okay, and that's why is that? Because the closer we get to the light, the more we see our imperfections. Okay, so Job, picture of a Jew in the tribulation. At the end of the book of Job, his 10 children are resurrected, the 10 that died in the tornado. Okay, either they're resurrected and Mrs. Job has 10 more kids, or a combination of both. It's hard to say, but the Jews will be resurrected at the end of the tribulation. Okay, and then they will be the ones that go into the millennial time period. Verse 12, so they ask the question, the writer, is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? So people walking by, and nobody is showing any care or any concern for them. Like a dead quail in a pen where all the other quails forget it, or a dead chicken, all the other chickens, nothing. They just step on it, and stuff like that. This is when people become so despondent that they just don't respond. Okay, and this again, here's a good argument against an evolutionist, is to tell them that we are uniquely different than animals. We're not animals. But a dead possum on the side of the road, they don't call the cops and ask them to investigate. A dead deer along the road, you might stop and take a hunk off it and take it home for your dog. Okay, if you're a real redneck, you might take the whole thing and eat it yourself. I don't know. But people don't investigate. But if there's a person along the road, do they not stop? Call the police and investigate? Why? Because we're different. We're not from monkeys. We're not from baboons. We're not armadillos. We're different. We're uniquely different. Animals don't wear clothes. You know, we do, because of our sin nature. I know some women put them sissy little clothes and them sissy little poodles, but that's just a cat impersonating a dog. And so, you know, that, and the worst thing is to put the dog in a stroller and push it around. That's a real... Now, if it's a German Shepherd inside the stroller, that's different. If somebody bothers you, just, you know, open it up, say, sick them. But I don't know. That's how it goes. Okay, so then he says this, after this question, is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by, behold, and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. Okay, in Matthew it said it's going to be the worst time ever known to man. It's going to be beyond comparison. Okay, Thief in the Night, all them old, them shows that try to depict the tribulation, they can't come close to how bad it is. If Mel Gibson really wants to use his finances to glorify God, instead of making The Passion of the Christ, do the Revelation of Jesus Christ. And then read it, and boy, you can really scare the socks off people. Hey, if they want sex and violence, it's all in there. I mean, show the whole thing. But of course, Mel Gibson, Roman Catholic, he's not going to blast the Pope like Revelation 17, 18. Okay, but it's called, the tribulation time period is called the wrath of God. It's going to, Revelation writes about it, Revelation 6, 16 and 17, Revelation 15. Okay, now that time period, up to 7-year time period, is God's wrath poured upon Israel. Okay, so that's what he says in verse 12. The Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. At the end, God's wrath is going to be poured on the entire world. Okay, and so it's going to be as close to hell as possible without being hell. Now, what is God going to do for those people, the Jewish people, during that time period? Proverbs chapter 1, this is a side of God you never want to see. And thank God, if a born-again believer, you won't see. You might see his big spanking stick, but you're not going to see this side of God. But the Jew of the tribulation, the apostate Jew of the tribulation, will see this side of God. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 24. Okay, he says, because I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. So the Jews aren't listening to him. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. God is not weeping during the tribulation time period when he's hitting the Jews hard. He's mocking them. He's laughing at them. Why? He has heard them mock him and laugh at him for 5,000 years or 4,000 years. And he who laughs last laughs best. And God's going to get the last laugh. Psalms 2 writes about that also. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 63, he says, as I rejoiced over you to do you good, so I will rejoice over you to destroy you. That's the God of the Bible. Okay, and of course, you know, the Lord's been putting up with this a long time. People have mocking him, and the Jews have been mocking him. They've been faking it. They've been counterfeiting him. Okay, they've been reading the Talmud rather than the Torah. They have put the Kabbalah above the temple. And God's had enough. Verse 27, when your fear cometh as destruction, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, okay, there's Dorothy in a tornado again, doing the same thing. And then the little devils come out, the monkeys with their wings, that's the little devils coming out. Okay, and it says, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call unto me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me, but they shall not find me. That's a different side of God. Now, in the middle of the trib, when the Jews recognize that the Antichrist is the Antichrist, he's not the Messiah that they're expecting to come. when they recognize that he is the true devil incarnate, then 144,000 Jewish young men are going to believe in the Messiah, the real Messiah, Jesus Christ. Then God will start working with them as they start running out around the world preaching the gospel of the kingdom. A tenth of them will voluntarily stay in Jerusalem, knowing that they will die, that they will be sacrificed in religious sacrifice, and they will obviously earn the martyr's crown. So Lamentations 1:12, this is his fierce anger. Now we in America have never experienced this. We've never experienced war on our property, our land. The last time we had, quote, war on our land was in December 7th, 1941. 9-1-1, that wasn't war on our land. You know, that was a whole different game. Okay, but that's the last time our country has seen it. So we've been really, truly blessed and very fortunate people. Okay, so verse 13, from above hath he sent fire into my bones, and it prevaileth against them. He hath spread a net for my feet. He hath turned me back. He hath made me desolate and faint all the day. So they are in desperate straits. The yoke of my transgressions is bound by his hand. They are wreathed and come up upon my neck. He hath made my strength to fall. The Lord hath delivered me into their hands. Their hands, the enemy, will be the Edomites or the Muslims, from whom I am not able to rise up. The Lord hath trodden underfoot all my mighty men in the midst of me. Okay, the Israeli soldiers are real fighting soldiers. Okay, they don't mess around. But in the tribulation, they will be fighting against God the first 3.5 years. At the end, he's going to resurrect all of them, boy, and they're going to really go at it. Okay, but it's going to be a tough thing. He says, my mighty men, in the midst of thee, he hath called an assembly against me to crush my young men. The Lord hath trodden the virgin, the daughter of Judah, as in a winepress. Okay, and so trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. Okay, so that's about the second coming. Jeremiah says this, for these things I weep. My eye runneth down with water because the comforter that should relieve my soul is far from me. My children are desolate because the enemy prevaileth. So that's that tribulation. It's a bad, bad time for the Jewish people. 17, Zion spreadeth forth her hands, and there's none to comfort her. The Lord hath commanded concerning Jacob that his adversaries should be round about him. Jerusalem is as a menstruous woman among them. The Bible's really describing something very clearly here. Okay, and this is the emotional sorrow that the Jews will be experiencing. Now, the individual that's writing about this doctrinally, verse 18, he's going to admit it here, that God is right. We deserve it. Israel deserves it. We all deserve it. Okay, but the Jews, the Lord is righteous. For I have rebelled against his commandment. Yes, they have. The Jewish nation has rebelled against God's commandment. The Talmud has some rather very perverse statements in there that has revealed the Jewish Talmud and the priests, the Jewish priests, are very perverse. Okay, and they have rebelled against God. They have rebelled against his words. Okay, and so this individual is repenting toward God. When a person repents toward God, we say, you're right and I'm wrong. The Lord is righteous, for I have rebelled against commandment. Hear, I pray you, all people, and behold my sorrow. My virgins and my young men are gone into captivity. Okay, doctrinally, the Babylonians, or historically, the Babylonians of the old days, doctrinally, Mystery Babylon the Great. Saudi Arabia, Iran, Iraq, all the 10 countries surrounding Jerusalem, all Muslim territory, Turkey. Turkey is going to rise up to be very significant. Okay, Turkey, the old Ottoman Empire, Iran, Iraq. On the Egyptian side, or the African side, you got Egypt, you got Morocco, Ethiopia, Sudan. Those are all African countries. That's part of the old Roman Empire. That's going to rise up again. This is why the Muslim faith is being imported almost everywhere in the world, is because the method of death will be the beheading. And of course, that faith talks about that and practice that. And they're not talking about a nice, very swift cut of a guillotine. They're talking about, a knife or whatever. It's very barbaric. And if Americans don't get the head out of the sand, this is going to come over this country. Okay, people don't realize how barbaric these people are, where they're not only cut their heads off, they stick them on a pole along the streets as people walking by so everybody can see this stuff. And then the Muslim will bring their little kids by, 9 and 10-year-old kids, and let them sit there and poke at it. And that's out there. Why are the people like that? Well, remember in the Bible, Malachi chapter 1, it says that Edom is a habitation of devils. So when you got devils inhabiting that whole region, that's the spiritual influence. And that's why, honor killings. You read about honor killings. I remember reading about this one lady where her uncle called her to the back of the yard, poured gasoline over her, and struck a match. And then she jumped over the fence and somehow got out of there, somehow got the flames out, somehow got to a hospital, somehow got to an impartial foreigner that was helping her, but the Muslim nurse and the Muslim doctor wanted her to die. And somehow this woman got her out of the country and survived it. And her book, her biography is Burned Alive. And that is practiced in these countries. And of course, the practice of, circumcision of the girls and all the perversion that goes on. And Americans are just the media is turning a blind eye on this stuff. And of course, we know why. Okay, the reason why, doctrinally, the Lord's setting all this stuff up. Verse 19, he says, I called for my lovers, but they deceived me. My priests and mine elders gave up the ghost in the city. Okay, they died, they gave up the ghost while they sought their meat to relieve their souls. Okay, why are they looking out there? They're starving to death. These people are starving. He said, behold, O Lord, I am in distress. Obvious. My bowels are troubled. Mine heart is turned within me, for I have grievously rebelled. Abroad the sword bereaveth. At home there is as death. Okay, writing about a description of Jerusalem. Historically and doctrinally. Verse 21, they have heard that I sigh. Yeah, that's right. There is none to comfort me. Yeah, and that's right too. All mine enemies have heard of my trouble. Okay, trouble there. If you want to write in a margin, which I didn't because there's so many marginal notes, you can write in there. Jeremiah 30, verse 7. Jeremiah calls that Jacob's trouble. Daniel 12, verse 1. Daniel calls it a time of trouble. And that's the tribulation time period. So he said, they've heard of my trouble, and notice their reaction. Notice the Muslims' reaction. They are glad. Yeah, they rejoice in that. They are glad that have done it. Thou wilt bring the day that thou hast called, and they shall be like unto me. Let all their wickedness come before thee. Now that's how you pray against an enemy. If you're asking the Lord to deliver you from unreasonable wicked men, 2 Thessalonians writes about that. When you're praying about that, don't tell God how good you are. That ain't going to go anywhere. Remind God how wicked they are. remind God what they have said about his name. You say, well, he's heard it. I know he's heard it, but just remind him. Tell him about it. Okay, and that is more likely to get an answer than us, you know, telling how fine and dandy we are. The Lord in heaven said, phew, you need to look in a mirror. When you get to the point where you're saying, I am vile, then I might pay attention to you. Let all their wickedness come before thee, and do unto them as thou hast done unto me, for all my transgressions, for my sighs are many, and my heart is faint. So there's a great prayer. Now we get into chapter 2. How hath the Lord covered the daughter of Zion with a cloud in his anger? Okay, the cloud, that's a common saying where, you know, cartoonists will write that somebody's got an evil omen over there. They'll put a cloud following them around. Okay, again, he mentions the anger of the Lord, and again, that is a tribulation. So we have five lamentations where Jeremiah's writing about the Jews historically and doctrinally. He says, and cast down from heaven unto the earth the beauty of Israel, and remembered not his footstool in the day of his anger. So he's not protecting the Jews in the first half. The Lord has swallowed up all the inhabitants of Jacob. So it's going to be in Jerusalem, it's going to be a deserted city. It's going to be pretty bad. It says, and hath not pitied. Now we have multiple passages where the Bible says God is merciful. Multiple passages it says God will have compassion. All through the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. But during that tribulation time period, during that first 3.5 years when the Jewish people, the apostate Jews, will think the Antichrist is a new Messiah, and when they're jumping on the bandwagon trying to bring in the new world order and everything, God is not going to pay attention to them. And when they recognize, when the Antichrist says, you will bow and worship me, they will recognize at that point, uh-oh, we made a mistake. Then they will trust in the true Messiah, and then God will pay attention to them, but they are still going to suffer pretty bad. Okay, so the Lord swallowed up all the inhabitants of Jacob, and hath not pitied. He hath thrown down in his wrath the strongholds of the daughter of Judah. He hath brought them down to the ground. He hath polluted the kingdom and the princes thereof. He hath cut off in his fierce anger at all the horn of Israel. Okay, the horn of Israel, doctrinally, this again shows that the Bible is a standard. Okay, the Bible is a standard. The horn of Israel is usually an animal that has a horn that symbolizes power, political power. This is why the secret societies will usually use an animal as a mascot that's a horn. Buffalo. I think as Fred Flintstone had the water buffaloes. Okay, and so they'll have that. They get that from the Bible. The Bible sets a pattern. Okay, the goat head of Mendes, the horns of the goat. That's what they're talking about. Okay, and so this is why you'll see powerful people, famous people, international actors, actresses, sometimes athletes. You'll see LeBron James will flash that sign. He'll flash the pyramid sign, then he'll flash the 3-6 sign. Okay, and the reason why they're doing these things is because they're getting advertisement, they're getting promoted, okay, by Satan. So you're seeing political power saying this. I mean, you can virtually see every president flashing those signs sometime. The music industry, they're flashing the signs all the time. Okay, and why? Because that's how they get famous. That's how they get, quote, blessed by Satan. Okay, so that's where this horn's coming. They get that from a Bible. Now, these people don't like the Bible, but they're following the standard in this context. He said he's going to cut off all the horn of Israel. He hath drawn back his right hand from before the enemy. He hath burned against Jacob like a flaming fire, and it was devoured round about. He hath bent his bow like an enemy. He stood with his right hand as an adversary and slew all that were pleasant to the eye in the tabernacle of the daughter of Zion. He poured out his fury like fire. Okay, and if you would, go to Revelation chapter 12 so we can see the same idea. As a born-again believer, we can read these things and thank God that the church isn't going to the tribulation. We could thank God that there are differences in the Bible. And we could thank the Lord that as a born-again believer, we're in the family. So praise the Lord for all those things. And what this does, this is a blessing to God when we could see what the Bible's saying. Okay, people that see no doctrine in the Bible, they can't preach these passages. You don't hear them preaching Lamentations. You don't hear these guys preaching about Ezekiel. You can't, I mean, when you read this chapter and you look at this stuff and it's all depressing and discouraging, who's going to walk out and say, woohoo, I'm okay, you're all okay, we're all okay. Well, we can say that because we know the doctrine. Okay, we're going to miss out on all this stuff. We get to watch it on Channel 13 when we get to heaven. You know, in a waiting room waiting for the judgment seat of Christ while we're scared to death. Okay, Revelation 12, verse 1. I'm sorry, 11, what I want. 11. And there was given unto me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God. So it gets rebuilt. And the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court that is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the Revelation 11, verse 2. What did I say? 12. Backward to 11. Okay, Revelation 11, verse 2. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. So that's the second half. Okay, so that's what they're going to do to the city. The tread, the word is right. The right word, treading, as in a wine press, squeezing the blood out and everything. Okay, and so when you see the doctrine, you understand this stuff, the Bible just comes alive. And you can see that, I don't care how evil Hollywood all these guys do, they are following the standard. It's too bad they're not following the Savior. It's their problem. Okay, and so, verse 5. The Lord was as an enemy. Well, we don't want that. That reminds me of James chapter 4, verse 4, that whoever's a friend of the world is an enemy of God. And of course, doctrinally, this is Jewish. Jew in the tribulation, and they're fighting against God. And it'll be that first 3.5 years, and then that second 3.5 when the Jews, the ones that come to the Savior, then the Lord will, try to help them through it. So the Lord was an enemy. He hath swallowed up Israel. Twice he said that term. He hath swallowed up all her palaces. He hath destroyed his strongholds, and hath increased in the daughter of Judah mourning and lamentation. Now, doctrine for the New Testament. Okay, remember in the Old Testament, God had a temple for his people. In the New Testament, God has a people for his temple. Okay, in the Old Testament, God would destroy the Jewish temple as punishment to the Jewish people for turning their back on God. For the born-again believer, for a born-again believer who turns his back on God, God will destroy his temple, his flesh. This is why people who get into sin look older quicker. A meth is one of those things that, man, it takes them quick. If somebody gets hooked on meth, they'll make a 25-year-old look like a 55-year-old that quick. Okay, but that's what God's destroying. He's promised us, because our soul has been redeemed. Okay, that's a promise. But he did not promise he's going to take care of our flesh. And that's what he will destroy. And what he'll do, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, he will destroy the flesh in order to save the soul. So sometimes he'll take that backslidden Christian and throw him in a hospital so he's laying down on his bed, flat up, looking up. Now, unfortunately, they got all the TVs in there, so they're going to watch the TV all day long instead of thinking about God. Okay, and so this is the pattern God follows. We're looking forward to the day where our body's redeemed. And, of course, that's a rapture when we see the Lord. Okay, so this is the pattern, Old Testament and New Testament. The New Testament believer still reaps what he sows. If he sows to the flesh, he'll reap of the flesh corruption. Okay? And so that's a natural law of life. Okay? And so it doesn't matter. Okay? And so this is the pattern God follows. So in verse 5, the Lord was an enemy. The Lord was the enemy of the Jewish people during the first 3.5. And when they turned to him as a people or as an individual, then he will be their savior. But they still have to endure and go through that tribulation time period. Okay, so we got up to verse 6. Verse 7, you can see the violence. Okay, it's just continuing down through there. Okay, any questions or comments? What we covered on that?